For more Bible topics, go to www.biblebro.net. My name is Kent Owen. The topic is sovereignty. Does God cause or allow tragedy? The majority of Christians today believe a doctrine that says that God either causes or allows tragedy in his own children's lives. Their definition of sovereign is that God is in control of everything, everywhere, all the time. The doctrine also says that nothing happens without God's willing it to happen. This sounds good, but it's a reason why many people secretly hate God. Let's say that a man had a son who contracted cancer and died after many years of suffering. The man is told that God is in control. Nothing happens outside of God's plan, therefore this was God's plan. And even the preacher at his own son's funeral says, God took the child. I'm sure you can understand the resentment and the emotional confusion that this man has towards God. Yet the man knows that if he hates God, he's going to go to hell. No Christian wants to hate God or resent God. This is one of the worst doctrines around, and if it was true, then we wouldn't have any other choice but to accept it, like many people already do, but thank God it's not. In this article, I'll attempt to explain the truth. Let's talk about the word sovereignty. Most people understand sovereignty to mean that God is in control of everything. Nothing can happen except for what God causes or allows. The dictionary defines it as a little bit different, though. Dictionary defines sovereign as 1. Paramount and supreme. 2. Having supreme rank or power. 3. Independent, like a sovereign state. Or 4. Excellent. None of these definitions mean that God controls everything. The King James Version and the New King James Version use the word sovereign 0 times. The NIV and the NLT use the word about 280 times. The ESV, which is becoming more and more widely accepted and popular, uses the word only about 3 times in Acts 4:24, 1 Timothy 6:15, and Revelation 6:10. The Holman Christian Standard Version and the NASB use the word only 1 time, and that's also in 1 Timothy 6:15. So let's take a look at those 3 verses, especially that 1 Timothy 6:15 verse. Acts 4:24 uses the word sovereign Lord. The word is from G1203. It means a husband, an absolute ruler, a lord, a master. In the King James Version, this same word was translated as Lord. G1203 is used of any master, not only God. 1 Timothy 6:15. The word is translated as sovereign. It's from G1413. It means a ruler, an officer, great authority, mighty, potentate. A prince or a high officer, a royal minister of great authority. This same word was also used of other people besides God. Luke 1:52. He, God, has brought down the mighty, which is translated from that same word, G1413. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones. It was also used of the eunuch in Acts 8:27 called the official, G1413. Revelation 6:10, O sovereign Lord, G1203. It's the exact same word as Acts 4:24. None of these translations mean in control of everything, everywhere, all the time, past, present, and future. So is God sovereign? Yes, God is supreme, powerful, independent, and excellent. Without us, God's fine, but we aren't fine without God. He's independent and he doesn't need permission to do what he wants to do. Does the word sovereign mean that he controls everything? No. God has limited himself. There's no one more powerful than God, but God's limited himself. For example, God can't lie, and it's impossible for God to lie, so that limits him from going back on his word. God doesn't change. He never has, and he never will lie. Every promise he makes, he's bound to. If God doesn't keep his promises, that makes him a liar. The Bible's full of God's promises. God has bound himself over and over again with different promises so that he can't do everything. Finding just one thing that he can't do proves that he can't do everything. He limits himself by his own promises. God gives us choice. One of the ways that God has limited himself is by giving us choice. Check out Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you and your seed may live. Do you see that it's our choice? If we choose death and die, God's not to blame. Choosing death doesn't mean that God willed us to die. It doesn't mean that it was part of God's grand plan for us to die. It doesn't mean that God predestined us to die, controlled us to die, or even forced us to die. If God was in control, then the choices that he gives aren't really choices, and our free will isn't real. God's will doesn't always happen. Check out 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Question, do people perish? Yes. Is that God's will? No. Therefore, things happen that aren't God's will. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants everyone to turn from evil so that he'll live, says Ezekiel 33:11. This is further proof that not everything that happens is God's will or what God wants. So are we to believe that God pre-planned the things that he doesn't want, that he's controlling things to happen that he has no pleasure in, that he's predetermined to send people to hell before they were even born? Our free will. You have free will. If you choose to do bad things, you get bad things. The way that the Bible says that is, you reap what you sow, from Galatians 6:7. With every action comes a reaction. If you plant apple seeds, you'll get an apple tree. If you smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, you'll end up with cancer. So should anyone in that situation say that it's God's fault that they got cancer for smoking? That God was in control, controlling him to smoke, controlling him to get cancer? That he was passively allowing it? God does have good plans for us, but he doesn't force his plans on us. Not everything that happens is what God planned. Bad things also happen to us because we live in a fallen world, but God is the solution, not the problem. Our responsibility. It was God's will that the gospel should be spread, but it hasn't been spread like it should. Should we conclude that it's God's will that the gospel shouldn't be spread just because the people that he entrusted the gospel to haven't worked hard enough? No. We're to blame for not doing God's will. We're to blame for not spreading the message that he entrusted us with so that wicked men could repent and live instead of die. God gives us power. We have authority given by God to do God's work. The authority is given by God's promises, which God cannot break. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe it and you'll receive. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." God's made a way for us to fight the enemy. He's given us a weapon, but if we don't use that weapon, it's our fault. With this authority that he's given us, it's not God who allows our tragedies, it is us. Why is this important? Knowing that God doesn't cause or allow my problems is very important to my faith. If I believe that when a problem comes into my life, that it's either from God or it's something that God permitted or allowed, I wouldn't know what to think. Why would I pray against something if it's God's will? If a person believed that God put sickness on them, then they shouldn't pray against the sickness. They shouldn't go to a doctor or even take medicine. All those things would be resisting God's will. If God put sickness on them, then they should embrace the sickness and let it run its full course so that they can get the maximum benefit from it. Does anyone do that? Of course not. That's crazy. It's even crazier to say that God was the cause of it. But if God controls everything, then of course he is the cause and Satan does his will. What we should actually do is resist sickness through faith in the atonement Jesus has provided for us. But if God is in control of your life and your life is in a wreck, then who's to blame? Problems come from Satan, not God. We're taught that our problems are actually blessings from God. That's a faith killer. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. It was not God who oppressed them with sickness, it was the devil. The same is true today. God only gives good and perfect gifts. Jesus said, "What man is there among you whom if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, you'll give him a snake? If you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" I don't think that anyone's seriously stupid enough to believe that cancer is a good and perfect gift from God. Here's a basic principle to remember. If it's good, it's from God. If it's bad, it's from the devil, period. Any problems I have are either from the devil, myself, or just the result of me being on a cursed planet. God has never harmed me, and he never will. Take this for example. I have a 7-year-old son. I tell him not to touch the stove because it's going to burn him. He reaches up, he touches the stove, and he gets burned. Now, if he told people that I caused or I even allowed the burn, I'd be pretty upset. I warned him so that he wouldn't get hurt, not so that he would. That's what so many people do with God, pinning their blame and their hurt on him. Take another example. A man I know to be a rapist and murderer comes to me and asks me for permission to rape my 20-year-old daughter. No good father would say, yeah, go ahead, she'll learn a lesson from it, and it'll work out for the good in the end. But that's exactly what people say God does, that he allows or he gives permission to Satan to do all kinds of horrible things to his children. On the other hand, if I was sending my daughter out into a world where I knew that rapist murderer was, I would prepare her. I would give her a weapon to use against him if she ever ran into the guy. If he did meet her, and I'm sure he would, she would be prepared. But if she denies the weapon that I give her when he meets her, she doesn't use it, and the worst happens, she can't say that I wanted that to happen. She can't say that I willed it to happen, nor that I even allowed it to happen. We as Christians are sent out into a world with the enemy, but God has given us a weapon. Just because good things can come out of hardships doesn't mean that God permitted the hardship. If you turn to the Lord due to hard times, then it was you who made that decision, not God pushing you to make it. The Lord is the answer to our problems. He is not the problem. The best articles that I've read on this are Cause and Allow by Frank Buchholz and The Sovereignty of God by Andrew Womack.